Hello, Steel Magnolias. When you hear tamale, do you automatically think Mexico or Central or Latin America? Well, here in the South, the Mississippi Delta has their own version of a tamale, and that's what we will dive into today. So here we go. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth. And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel
with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Well, sis, I did something this weekend that for some reason I forget to do often. And that is, I copied a recipe from somebody that has copied a recipe of a restaurant item I love.
Oh,
are you following? So
yes.
I don't know why I said that so funny, but...
No, like you want to look up what's that white sauce at Chewy's.
Yeah.
You know, like that crack ranch stuff.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
Or something like that.
But you know, sometimes you just have your go-to at a restaurant, and occasionally it's something where you're like, I could make this. Why don't I ever make this?
Yeah. So anyway, and or what's their what makes theirs so special?
My item this week was the Tzatziki's lemon chicken soup.
Oh, which I literally crave if I'm sick.
I only get if I'm sick, if I'm really needing something nice and brothy and it's very lemony.
Yeah, so it seems like what your body would need.
And it is what your body needs.
Yeah.
And I know that now because I have freshly squeezed the lemons myself.
How many lemons?
I doubled the recipe, so it was 8.
Okay, yeah, because it's very lemony
flavor
in their broth, but so good.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Did it turn out good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hook it in the show notes in case somebody wants to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how big Tzatziki's is. It's just a Mediterranean restaurant, but they're known more for, you know, hummus or a good Greek salad or things like that. But yeah, they've got this good soup that I just love. So anyway, I just thought it'd be fun to mention, like...
Hey, if you love something from a restaurant...
PSA.
In this day and age, you can look it up.
Yeah. And I also wanted to mention that we have a new quest that we are on. We are on a quest to figure out how we can all better our hospitality game in 2021 amidst COVID-19.
Yeah.
Because it's still here. We're still dealing.
It's still cold here in our area of the South.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the tip of in Miami, but
right.
Most of the South is cold.
So I think everybody, you know, in general, pre-COVID needed betterment on their hospitality game, myself included. But now that this has all hit, it's
even almost people's
more
excuse to like, I can't right now.
Yeah, we're not seeing people. Yeah. I'm sorry. There are some creatives out there that have done some things outside the box or that have done something very simply that worked.
Yeah.
And we want to hear from you. So we are doing a little call for entries, if you will. 90 seconds or less is all we need. We want you to, audio record yourself at the link in the show notes. Go there and tell us in 90 seconds or less, what are you doing? Or maybe even something you've observed. Maybe you've been the guest yourself. Somebody that really did hospitality in a creative, interesting, or even simple way amidst COVID-19.
I love that. And I would even love for us to hear from other countries, listeners in other countries.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Or any places, but maybe they've got ideas we don't have.
So true. We have listeners. I'm calling you out, Poland,
Ireland,
New Zealand, and Canada specifically. Those
okay.
areas
and didn't
I
we
know.
Already have Australia? So. Yeah,
but
we want to hear from you.
Any of y'all that are listening, whether you're U.S. or outside the U.S., we would love to hear from you. And it won't take you long. It's a click of a button. All you got to do is be on something that has a microphone that can record you. So,
very cool. We got to hear it. And we'll actually possibly use their clips in the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to circle back on this for sure.
So that could be really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have so many road trips I want to make, and I know a lot of people are looking for road trips for vacations and things because they're just not ready to fly yet.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have many that I long to make, even just in the South. But I feel like Mississippi has a lot to offer with Oxford and
yes,
Vicksburg and Natchez and just lots of Southern history and, you know, lots of beautiful things to see, important history, some difficult history.
Sure.
A lot of difficult history down that way.
Sure.
But yummy food. And who knew? Tamales.
Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about tamales. I feel like I have to come clean on this one, and I feel like I do that on several topics, but I thought tamale for the longest time was indeed a pepper itself. So when I thought of a plate of tamales,
okay,
I was picturing a stuffed pepper.
So you were a poblano visualizing or like a plate of chili rellenos,
yeah,
or something like that, but thought that's what tamales were.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't even really think much about was it like spicy hot or not, but for some reason it was stuffed in a pepper to me, and that is not the case.
Did you visualize this pepper also in a corn husk? No. Or you didn't know about the corn husk?
I thought the corn husk was a pepper.
Oh, I'm tracking. Okay.
So apologies to those of you that are diehard tamales.
She ain't got no Hispanic blood in her veins, but we eat Mexican a lot, so that does surprise me a little bit.
Well, and I studied in Spain, but I don't remember us having something of this sort of cuisine. So if you're on my side of the fence, welcome.
And you're like, what is a tamale?
So the word tamale, I mean, it is Spanish. It derives actually from the Aztec word, which means wrapped food. Tamale means wrapped food.
Law, we wrap all kinds of things up here.
So, but I do think this topic is the perfect illustration of like migration in America and products that came out of the people now living in a new land bringing their old traditions.
Yes.
We mention that sort of thing a lot on here, but this today, again, is another perfect illustration of a people group that came into the South and now are bringing their recipes, but doing it a little different now that they're in the South.
That's right. Well, it's still kind of a mystery as to how these tamales came about in the Delta. So I don't know if you read much about that.
But I read a little.
There's different theories as to why that ever even happened. Some say that migrant cotton harvesters from Mexico introduced this to the area, because there certainly were many that came to work the cotton fields. Yes. So they would, like you just said, bring what they were used to eating there.
Yes.
And also, I mean, tamales are filling and easy to carry. I can see how that would be something you might take into the field.
Yes.
Kind of like it reminds me of the Scottish egg in Scotland. Yeah. That was something that was really hearty that they could stick in their pocket and eat. Mm-hmm. You know, similar kind of idea with a tamale. Some people believe that these actually date back to the Native Americans who once lived in the Delta.
Mm-hmm.
That's they did a lot of things with corn, so perhaps this was their version of what you see in lots of areas of Latin America. And then still others are convinced that soldiers that returned from the Mexican-American War in the late 1840s may have enjoyed that in their time there and brought that back.
Okay.
I don't know. I still kind of feel like it's this migration thing, like you said, where they're bringing what's familiar and using what they have.
Yes.
That makes it a little different in the Delta than what you might see in other parts of Mexico or Central America, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say if you want like a deep, deep dive into these stories, I did find a book that sounds like a good resource. It's by Amy C. Evans. She's a Southern author. I don't know if you came across her, but she has a book called A Good Meal is Hard to Find, Storied Recipes from the Deep South.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And she conducted specifically a lot of hot tamale, like oral history, even for the Southern Foodways Alliance.
Okay.
And very cool. Did a lot of research. So if this is really, really interesting to you, I'll link to that in the show notes.
I have a book to mention as well. A lady by the name of Anne Martin, she wrote a book called Delta Hot Tamales, History, Stories, and Recipes. And she's also the co-founder of the Delta Hot Tamale Festival, which we'll mention a little later.
We got to go.
We have to go.
It's in Mississippi.
Yes.
Greenville, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's set to happen in October of this year. We'll see if they actually get to do it. But as of right now, it's on. Anyway, so let's talk about Delta Tamales.
Yes.
Yeah. They're found in some unique places. This is not just, yes, you will find them in restaurants in the area, but think super casual. So
thank you for mentioning this. Yes.
So you're going to find these in roadside stands, possibly on carts, even.
Yeah, I mean, very, very casual now that I'm thinking of it.
Think like even the pictures that you probably saw. This is something that... Sometimes it's in a full-blown restaurant.
Right.
But sometimes for people, this is a side gig.
Yes.
So it even some of the best ones started from somebody making them and selling them out of their car.
Yeah.
Or their little push cart. I even saw a picture of one of those like bicycle carts.
Yes.
Where a guy was, you know, pulling that and selling them out of the back. So
that's so funny.
Yeah. Gas stations in the areas have them.
So I suspect that this is on the radar for the foodiest of foodie restaurants. This just sounds like just the type of menu item that a foodie restaurant is going to make a little different and charge an exorbitant amount.
That's hilarious, right? Because they've done some cool chic thing.
They've got a special tamale sauce that they've come up with. But you're absolutely right. And if you listened to last week's episode, we did go ahead and let you know that we had some tamales on our Paducah trip.
Yes.
And we ate at Doe's Eat Place, which the original is in Greenville, Mississippi.
That's right. And they're well known for tamales.
Yes. Those same owners have a place in Paducah, but the original down in Mississippi, it opened in 1941. It's run by a Sicilian family. Now, they started using parchment paper instead of corn husks because their demand was increasing so much. So I think the parchment paper was just
probably cheaper and easier.
And that is what we were served ours with, parchment paper.
That's correct.
But yeah, sorry, I might be getting ahead of us.
No, well, I just got tickled too because I did read that now automation allows Doe's to make them 150 dozen per hour.
And I have heard that from some people that know tamales, that there's certain restaurants that have the machine.
Okay.
That can do this. But just
this that I was reading also said that would take more than 2 days to do by hand. So they've, you know, hit the numbers that they can buy the fancy equipment.
Yeah.
But
this is a great example of one of those episodes that we wanted to tell y'all about, but that I am in no way endorsing somebody to give this recipe a shot on your own. Just go try some of somebody
that knows
how to do it. Well,
I printed out a recipe.
Yeah.
Just to even be able to discuss kind of how you do it and the differences in what people think of as a Mexican tamale versus a Delta tamale. But yeah, this is intensive.
Like, very intensive.
And you're making a lot. So I was thinking, I can see me doing this for like a fundraiser or
like a good idea.
Church party or something like that. But I would never go through all of this for me to eat on. I'd be eating on it for weeks.
You would be so sick of it.
Though apparently they do freeze well.
I was going to say, there would be so many frozen tamales
in my little bitty freezer.
But just real quick, back to your point of the casualness of restaurants that are typically serving this, even Doe's Eat Place is a very rustic building, yet they were named a 2007 James Beard Award winner, that is a very distinguished award to win as a restaurant. So it's just funny that, you know, even like someone receiving that high of an honor, it's not like they've moved into a grand spot.
That's true.
And then received their award.
Well, I also read that the Signa is the name of that Sicilian family that started Doe's. And I have heard that the husband has not even shared it with the wife in the family.
Stop.
Like, it's a very secret recipe. So.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I don't know if that's...
That's a fun, makes for a fun story,
correct
for
or
sure.
Not. But now let's talk about, okay, so first of all, one of the differences that I've noted is these are much smaller than what I visualize a Mexican tamale. I visualize a Mexican tamale as being like maybe 2.5-3 inches across.
Okay.
Whereas these are pretty small.
Yeah.
They're often eaten as an appetizer.
Yes.
Or you'll see people eat them, like several of them, as a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's even served with chili over it.
Yeah.
In the Delta. To even make it. It's kind of make it more hearty.
Yeah.
The ones we had at Doe's were served with chili on the side.
Right.
Which I kind of liked it like that.
I did too. Because I wanted to know just exactly what this tasted like aside from. I know what chili tastes like. I didn't want that to mask the taste. Yeah. So main difference in cornmeal, which we're familiar with very much in the South, and masa, which is what a Mexican tamale would be made of, or masa harina, is that masa is, well, first of all, it wasn't super easy for them to find when they first came to Mississippi. Hello. So they used it. It's made of corn, but it's ground much finer. And it's usually the same consistency as like an all-purpose flour.
Oh.
And so you would even sometimes hear masa described as corn flour.
Okay.
So, I mean, really fine. And then a Delta tamale made with cornmeal, you're more familiar with that. But that's going to be pretty coarse. That's just dried corn.
So they already had that in the pantry because they were making cornbread.
Yeah. That's going to be grittier in texture. And so that's going to produce two very different
Absolutely.
Tamale experiences.
Yeah. And then the boiled meat is going to make it a little different
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you're going to see these as pork or beef. Occasionally, you'll see turkey or something else, but usually pork or beef.
Mm-hmm.
The ones we had were beef.
Yep.
And another big difference is a Mexican tamale is usually steamed.
True.
These are boiled.
Okay.
And they're called hot tamales.
Yes.
Because they're red hot.
They are.
They're you know, spiced by taste. You know, like different places are going to make them different ways. But you'll often see the spiciness either in the meat.
Yeah.
Or in the cornmeal dough.
Yeah.
Or in the water that they boil it in. Or both.
Yeah.
Did you notice the ones we got at Doe's had kind of like a...
They were very watery around them.
And it had like an, like some, you could tell that the water had spice in it.
Yes.
I could just tell that's.
So chili powder, paprika, cumin, cayenne, salt, pepper, maybe some sugar.
Little garlic powder, onion powder, that kind of thing. And I just, as with anything, people have their own little secrets as to what makes theirs different.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so these are typically rolled in a corn husk. Mm-hmm. So you can get corn husk dried and you just soak them while you're cooking your meat. Let those soak to get that softened up. That's usually what they're rolled in and then tied with a string to kind of keep it together.
That like butcher twine kind of string. Yeah.
But some people are using parchment paper instead.
Right. Extremely labor intensive, as I already mentioned.
Yeah. So. And another thing I was thinking is this is somewhat messy. I mean, I was thinking like not the kind of thing you want to eat on a first date or in a, you know, brand new silk blouse or something like that. Think casual again. Like this may drip on you or kind of run down your arm. Like this is, you know what I mean?
Imagine yourself sitting down at a dirty picnic table outside in a gravel lot. Whatever you would wear to that setting,
that's what you're gonna.
Now you can wear that,
especially if it's covered in chili. All the more.
What else would we say? Did we mention that the Southern Foodways Alliance has a tamale trail?
We did not, but yes. Okay. And it's a cool setup on their website. There's literally a map
that's
where you can see the different ones. They say, you know, hey. We try to keep it updated, but if you're making a trip, make sure you call the place before you show
up. Yes.
You know, again, these are casual kind of joints. Yeah. So who knows who's open.
Flip that closed sign around pretty easy and not have to make a big deal about it.
But it's a great map because depending on where you are, if you're in Greenville, see what's all around there. If you're in, you know, the Memphis area, see what's close by. But yeah, they have it all laid out really nicely and, pick your joint that's on your route.
But don't you think does is where people would probably point most people to start? Like, yeah, well, like, hey, you're in the area.
That's definitely the one I've heard of the most. Yeah. One other one I wanted to make sure and mention is in the area of Clarksdale. We did an episode, it was actually season one, episode 32, on the Delta Blues.
That was season one?
Yes.
See, this is getting weird because now I'm feeling so far removed from that.
That's when that was. And when we make this trip to the Tamale Festival, I definitely, there's a few places I wanted to hit on that blues map well.
Yeah.
But we mentioned a place called Ground Zero Blues Club. And it's Morgan Freeman was one of the co-owners, if you remember us talking about that. Anyway, they're supposed to have great hot tamales.
Yeah.
So that would be a fun place to hear music and get the yummy tamale taste. That's so true. They also have burgers, hot dogs, Frito pies, and things like that. So, several places in that Clarksdale area are known for their hot tamales. Mm-hmm. And there was even, we mentioned a singer on that episode who apparently sold his soul to the devil or something for his music gifting. He has a song about the Delta hot tamales.
Robert Johnson, I think, is who that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So entertainment and good food. See,
we got so y'all much covered. To do in the Delta.
We got y'all covered.
Okay, so about that Delta Hot Tamale Festival.
Yes, about that festival
that I really want to go to.
Desperately want to do anything these days.
So the dates of that, as of right now, they're saying it will happen October 14th to 16th of this year. Go to their website just to make sure.
Yes, please.
That's going to happen. Don't hold me to your hotel reservation.
Yes.
And it's a dish. It's an event that celebrates, obviously, that is the focus.
Right.
But they also, as with so many festivals in the South, have a pageant. So you're going to have the queen of the festival.
I bet it's a high honor, too.
Apparently, sometimes there's a tire that's made of corn husk and different things like that that you'll see. A parade, because that's what we love to do in the South.
Right.
Any excuse to have a parade. And a tamale eating contest.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
That's going to be a great time of year, because I bet it's just going to be that perfect balance of not quite real cool fall weather. You know,
yes.
It's going to be light
October
sweater.
In the South it's is gonna be light so sweater. Fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was even looking up just distances, because there's a lot of things I want to do in Mississippi.
Yeah.
This Greenville, where the festival is, it's just an hour and 20 minutes from Clarksdale, where the Delta Blues Museum was.
Okay.
And that's kind of the hub of the Delta Blues.
Yes.
So you definitely could do both of those in one trip.
Sure.
And Greenville's also little bit less than 2 hours and 20 minutes from Oxford, Mississippi, where Ole Miss is.
Yeah.
Also, adorable town, great bookstore, you know, cute campus, all of that to see.
Would be amazing to be around in the fall
again. Exactly.
Yeah.
So are we going?
We'll see. Fingers crossed.
That's right.
That all of this is happening. Well, I do want to mention, you know, we've said beef and pork, right? That those are primarily
typically what
be.
You're gonna see,
but
sometimes turkey.
I was gonna say, don't be shocked if you see chicken too,
chicken?
Because that book I mentioned earlier, that author Evans, she said that, you know, you're starting to see even more Delta tamales alongside Mexican tamales. So I'm talking like same restaurant or same mobile food truck, kind of doing a little bit of both, some hybrid things. So you may even encounter like chicken with masa, you know, so it feels like it's a, you know, meat you weren't ready for. Or it feels like Delta of this and, you know, Mexican tamale of this. It just enjoy whatever you
well, and I know some chefs hate that word fusion, but let's face it, that's what that is kind of a fusion of two things.
Well, and that's how this came about.
And
I mean,
I've even heard that some of them are deep fried, and we like to do that in the South as well.
So I feel like that would be a Tennessee tamale, right? Like,
anyway,
we fry.
Well, if you are not going to be able to make your way to Mississippi, don't fret. I found at least two places that will ship them to your door.
Oh my God. gosh. Okay, everybody else in the country, listen up.
So, and I did get tickled because, you know, we mentioned these aren't like grandioso chain restaurants or anything. So the websites looked a little tiny bit dated, but you just want to give links in the show notes.
Accept a credit card though.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
They ship these in a cooler to your door. Now you're going to pay shipping. I want to say the shipping was at the one I was looking at, like $17 or $17.95, something like that. Cause they come, you know, so you're not going to order two. You're probably going to order dozens.
Order for your whole Bible study. Like get a group together that wants to go in on a tamale order and then split
them
up.
There you go. And I thought this was just good to know. It said they stay in the refrigerator, they keep for 21 days.
Okay.
And in the freezer for a year.
So at some point,
just order a whole bunch for your family and you'll go through them.
At some point you're going to want these in the next year. So go ahead and order them now. Yeah, I'll put some links in the show notes.
So one was called Scott's Hot Tamales. Okay. And the other one was CC'sHotTamales.com. So,
and imagine how much they're probably in need of business right now.
Right now.
So
I know.
If you can, that would be a fun.
I wish I would have gotten some for us today, but I failed to meet the timelines and all. So
all of a sudden, an episode is upon us.
That's right.
It just, all these fly week to week. And then all of a sudden, we look back and you're referencing things from
episode one, season 32, Delta Blues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. We've been doing this a while, but it doesn't get old. It's so fun.
Well, I will say that my first real tamale experience was in Paducah, and I was very pleased. I was surprised at how soft the texture was in general. Because even though I knew just even based on this research how it was prepared, I still expected, I expected it to be a little crunchy.
Okay.
Even just like the meat itself, more of like a taco meat kind of, not that taco meat's crunchy, like a beef is what I'm talking about right now. It was so smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't need a knife. You didn't need, it was just very soft and smooth.
And I can see why people would want to put chili on it, though I really liked it next to it, because those two flavors together I thought were great.
Oh, they complemented so well. Yeah. So I definitely would encourage anyone to try it. It was very tasty. And I think next time I might want to experiment with some sauces.
Yes.
With it. Aside from even that, like, kind of fluid,
now, I
watery
didn't think they
spice.
Were hot at all. Did you think they were? So I even would like hot sauce with mine.
Yes.
I think that would be tasty.
That's what
on
I was
going
to say. Some hot sauce would have been really good.
Your favorite hot sauce?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get me a little Crystal or Louisiana
and I'll
be good to go.
That's right. If you don't know about Southern hot sauces,
we did an episode
on that, too. So,
Yeah, if anybody makes these, I would love to hear your stories of how you do it and why and all that jazz, too.
Yeah, so good. All right, sis.
That was fun.
That was so fun. Thank you for bringing this up. Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.